Because we left off yesterday, just beginning the sugya about the whether Adam Hukash the Karka or not. According to half the Rishonim, that's the correct name of the sugya. According to the half the Rishonim, that sugya doesn't exist. There is no din of Adam Hukash the Karka, only Avad Hukash the Karka. How in the world did we get into this Kiddushin of Zah? Because of a somewhat of a very fascinating Havamini that Gemara had, that maybe, when the Kala gives the Chosan a ring, and he turns around and is Makadisha with that ring, how did that work? He didn't give it to her. So where's the Kiddin Kasef? So Gemara thought, no, maybe, forget about the Kiddin Kasef. Maybe it works with Tam Kiddin Agav, because since she's giving him the ring, so we tone of the ring, like a Matana with Mashiach Agbaha, so Agav, that he's getting the ring, he's getting her as well as a wife. So Gemara said, that's very, very creative, except it's backwards. Because Agav always means that you make the Maisa Kiddin under Karka, then the Metalatlan schleps along, whereas here, the Maisa Kiddin is being done in the Metalatlan, and the quote-unquote Karka is schlepping along. So Rashi on the spot identified who is the Karka that's schlepping along. So Rashi said, nobody erased, no classes yesterday. So Rashi said that it must be the Gemara is assuming that she's the Karka. She is the Karka, because everybody knows there's a din called Adam Hukash the Karka. So Tosfos says to Rashi, not only does not everybody know that, there is no such thing. There's no such command, there's no such halacha of Adam Hukash l'karka. The only thing there is Avadim Hukash l'karka, not B'nai Adam, there is no such klal. So Tosfos, what does the Gemara mean, according to Tosfos? If there's no such klal, what does the Gemara mean? So Tosfos said the Lashon Gemara was lav dafka. The Gemara didn't mean to say that she's Ma'amish karka. The goal of the Gemara of Zion was not to teach me the intricacies of Kinyan Agav. The goal was to blow out water, I mean, that maybe Kiddin Agav is going to work for Kedushin. So the Gemara said, that would be ridiculous. That wouldn't be a good Kiddin Agav. That would be anti-Kiddin Agav. So Taisa says, all the Gemara means is that Av Kinami and Mechrayis Lamatzim Metaltalim Nigav Agav Metaltalim Nechazshir Mechrayis Lashachbu Agav. The Gemara didn't mean to say literally the woman is Karka. All the Gemara meant to say is, if you're going to tell me that Kinyan Agav works for Kedushin, that's like saying you can be Kona Metaltlin, Agav Metaltlin. So the Gemara just used the phrase, Karka Agav Metaltlin. It was Lav Dafka Lashon. The Gemara just meant to say, this is not a good case of Kinyan Agav. Again, the Gemara wasn't some indicative Lashon, because the goal was just simply to disprove the theory that Agav is going to work in this wild scenario of Kedushin. But in terms of the absolute status of B'nai Adam or B'nai Adam Dinam Kekakos, still says there's no such thing. B'nai Adam and Dinam Kekakos, no such animal. So we began to analyze this Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the Kiddushin of Zion and try to understand, well, what is the din? What is the halacha? Or B'nai Adam Hukash Kekakos, and Hukash Kekakos, what's the din? So Tosfos themselves got into a little bit of trouble, because Tosfos concedes that there is a Gemara that head and up to his Vav that doesn't sound like them. The Gemara does apply the rule of B'nai Adam Hukash Kekakos, at least vis-a-vis Shuma. So if a person takes a Ned and they give themselves or somebody else to the basement, not the Erech, but the Damim. So the Gemara says, how do you figure out what the person is worth? You have to figure it out. Evet Hanisham B'shut, how much they're worth as an Evet? So Taisa says, oh, you're figuring it out. How much they're worth as an Evet? So the Gemara says, well, not just you figure out how much they're worth as an Evet, but then you go ahead and you plug in the dinim of Shuma Sekarkos. There's a din that when you try to figure out how much something is worth to give as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, so the valuation for karka requires 10 people. You have to have a asar v'kayin to evaluate how much a car, how much a bag of potatoes, how much a desk is worth. You just get a couple of guys who know how to figure out a little bit of a, you know, what was that show? Havlo for Wealth. What was it called? The Price is Right? No, you remember that? The Price is Right. So to figure out how much something is cost. Oh, it's such a mumcha, world-class mumcha. But to get the prices right for a piece of karka, that's serious stuff. They didn't need 10 people exercise custom. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, to get the value of a metaltalin for hektesh, no big deal. To get the value of karka, to get the value of a person, that's very, very serious, because of Avad Mukshal Karkos. So Frek Tosfos, but the guy's not an Eved, the guy's a regular guy, he's a regular Ben Chaim, he's a regular Ben Adam. So why does the Gemara apply Avad Mukshal Karkos to a regular person? Does that lead us to believe that Rashi is correct? So Tosfos, nah. That's the last thing. It doesn't lead us to believe anything. Rashi is not right, says Tosfos. We're still right. So why does the Gemara say that Avad Hukshel Karkos and the Sugya, we're not even dealing with slaves? Says Tosfos, because we're being sham like an Eved. Since the whole Shuma is like an Eved, so therefore the Dinim Avadim, quote unquote, Hukshel Karkos kicks in. But a halacha that doesn't involve Shuma ki Eved just involves Agav involves kinnanim, involves making a determination whether a person is hukash lekarka. There's no such din. So Tosfos has a little out of that thing. So the end of the shay yesterday we left off with notwithstanding the fact that Tosfos and Kedushin had no qualms, Tosfos was able to somehow get out of that Gemara. Tosfos and Megillah raised the same question. Tosfos Megillah has the same sheet as Tosfos by us that Bnei Adam, regular Bnei Adam, Bnei Chayin are not hukash lekarka. And Tosfos has the same kasha from Sanhedrin. And Tosfos blight by Tzarchiyu. Tosfos says, why is that? Why should it be that the fact that we're sham the person like an Eved, why should that make it a Vodim Hukshul Karkos? After all, Tosfos says, so we saw the Tosfos in Megillah. So Tosfos says, Mikasha, Tainu Davka v'knayni, galeksiv kravis nachaltem, aval Eved Ivri, lo matziru klal, v'istish lekarka. Was Tosfos kasha in Megillah? Tosfos says it still doesn't make any sense what the Gemara Sanhedrin says. How can the Gemara say that when a guy is makdish himself, we evaluate him dino kekarka, and we insist on having 10 appraisers there because of unhukshul karkos, but we're only going to appraise him like an Eved Ivri? He's not a guy. He can't become an Eved Kanaan. He can only become an Eved Ivri. So if he can only become an Eved Ivri, only Eved Kanaani is hukshul karka. Eved Ivri is not hukshul karka. The Pesuk in Parshas Bahar is talking about an Eved Kanaani, not an Eved Ivri. So Tosfos Megillah blight by Kasha says it's still Shmira the Gemara Sanhedrin. So Taka Tosfos blight by the Torah Chiyah. It's a Kasha in the Gemara. They don't understand what's Pshat in the Gemara. So how come Ad Tosfos didn't have that problem? How come Ad Tosfos was raised the question, answered the Kasha? Tosfos in Kedushin said everything's hunky dory, everything's gevaldik. The Gemara Sanhedrin makes a lot of sense that Shumas Adam Hekdesh, this din, says Tosfos in Kedushin, makes perfect sense because Eved Avadim Hukshul Karkos, because this is a din of Avadim, because we're being sham like an Eved. Whereas Tosfos in Megillah said, but the best Eved that we're doing is only an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is Taka Kasha. How does this work? So Tosfos here said Avadim, that solves the problem. Tosfos here says Eved Ivri is a blight by Kasha. So what do you think the answer to that question is? What do you think Tosfos in Kedushin? What do you think the Nekudas Machlokes in Kedushin and Tosfos in Megillah is? So one could argue that maybe the Tosfos in Asugya didn't have such a problem with jumping from Eved Kanaani to Eved Ivri. To jump to Bnei Chayrin and to say that Bnei Chayrin are Hukash Lekarkos, like Rashi said, Tosfos felt that was Mamash a leap of faith. That he jumped off the cliff. That's really too far. And Eved Kanaani is so radically different from a Ben Adam to say that just because Avadim Hukshul Karkos and Eved Kanaani Hukshul is therefore a regular woman standing under the Chuppah Hukshul Karkos, Tosfos felt that was already too much. But to say that an Eved Kanaani is Hukshul Karka and say that an Eved Ivri is also a Shtik Hukshul Karka, that's not so bad. The Pesuk's talking about Eved Kanaani, the Pesuk's not talking about Eved Ivri. Well, there are certain similarities between Eved Kanaani and Eved Ivri. It's not so far-fetched. After all, we already know. Who remembers? What are some of the similarities between Eved Kanaani and Eved Ivri? What are some of the things that led us to believe there are certain similarities between them? Who remembers? Which great Rishon really built up the similarities between Eved Kanaani and Eved Ivri? Who remembers? No one remembers? Ramban. Remember the Ramban? What did the Ramban say? Who remembers? Kedushin of Tezai. Little Chazara. Come on. Little Chazara. The Gemara had the famous statement. Eved Ivri, what? And therefore you can't be Meichel and Eved Ivri. So what did the Ramban say? The Ramban said, you know why you can't be Meichel and Eved Ivri? Because in that, just as in Eved Kanaani you have a Kenyan Mom and a Kenyan what? Kenyan, what's that called? A Kenyan Isser. There are Kenyanim licked in Eved Kanaani with Nafka Minas for Isser v'Heter. What does that mean? That means he can't be Mekadosh and Isha, and he's not Chayv in all mitzvahs. Remember the Ramban? Right? Spoke a lot about the Ramban. Who a dinami Eved Ivri has Kinyani Isser as well. What were some of the examples? What was the one example of Kinyani Isser that Eved Ivri has? Nafkamini can marry Shivcha, this week's Parsha. Didn't everybody get, when you read Parsha, when you think about this Ramban during Rishon, you're probably just fiddling, trying to get the page in the Chumash. Come on, that was the most exciting part of it. A lot of exciting things in the Parsha. So, according to those understandings, that Eved Ivri and Eved Kanaani are not that different from one another. They are really Kinyani Yaguf. They're really Kinyani Yisr. They're really very, very similar. Okay, they're not identical. One can marry a Bastro, one can't. One is Chayv Mitzkisha, one's more. Okay, there are. I'm not telling you that every Eved Ivri is an Eved Kanaani. That's, you know, quite a stretch. one goes out with sheish, one doesn't, one goes out with yovel. There are a lot of differences, but there are certain similarities, and almost in the realm of mamonis, they're very similar to one another. So maybe one could argue that the din of avodim hukshel karkos makes a lot of sense to carry over from Eved Kenani into the realm of Eved Ivri. So Tosfos is willing to meet Rashi almost halfway. Rashi says that b'nei adam hukshel karkos, because Rashi thought that an Eved and a person are really the same. They're mamash identical. It's the human feature Shabai that makes hukshel karkos. It's not the kinyan of the Shabai, whereas Tosfos, no, it's not the human being part. It's the kinyan of the Shabbat that makes it hukshel karkos, and maybe you can argue that Eved is a shtick Eved also for these purposes. So I can make a little bit of sense out of that thesis. Or maybe no, maybe we're going down the wrong road. Maybe that's not the pshat in Tosfos and Kedushin. We totally misread Tosfos and Kedushin. It's not that Tosfos and Kedushin is willing to say that an Eved Ivri is a shtickle Eved Kenani. Because let's not forget, what was Tosfos' general approach to that Ramban? In the world, in the school of the Baalei Tosfos, did they buy into this Ramban? Were they big believers of Eved Ivri Guf HaKohen? Who remembers? Tosfos Shita in Yevamos, Tosfos in other places in Shas, but not the biggest believers of Eved Ivri Guf HaKohen. What did they think Eved Ivri Guf HaKohen meant? We have to put together all the pieces from last week's. According to Tosfos, is there a kid in Israel in Eved Ivri? No. Why can't an Eved Ivri marry a Shivcha? What did Tosfos in Yevamos say? Because it's derech avoida, it's not derech znus, it's not derech priest, it's derech avoida. Right? Did we talk about this? According to Tosfos, so why can't you be Moichel and Eved Ivri? Is it because he's a real kid in Haguf? Not really. Why can't you be Moichel and Eved Ivri? Because it's a what? Because it's a Dover Sheba what? To remember the Maharik? It's a Dover Sheba En. It's not a real kid in Haguf, it's a Dover Sheba En, and there's no Mechila Nitra than Dover Sheba En. Right? We spoke a lot about this. So perhaps we're going down the wrong road in terms of Tosfos and Asugi. Perhaps Tosfos and Asugi holds that an Eved Kenani is the only one who Alav Ne'emar Avad Mukshel Karkos. But the other man on Mukshel Karkos, Eved Ivri is not Mukshel Karkos, only an Eved Kenani. And Tosfos was still comfortable saying that don't bother me with the Gemara and said head and Daf Tezbav, because that Gemara makes sense. Why? Why did Tosfos comfortable with that Gemara and Tosfos and Megillah wasn't comfortable? Because Rabbi say, when a person takes a ned to give his value to the Beis Hamikdash, so we know the Gemara says, you sham him like an Eved Hanimka B'Shuk. What kind of an Eved? How do you evaluate a person? Reuben is Makdash himself to the Beis Hamikdash. So you bring in the appraisers. You bring in from people from the... How do you appraise Avodim? What type of appraisal are they using? Are they using the rules of Eved Kenani? They're totally different evaluations. They're gamrig different evaluations. Which one do they use? So Tosfos and Megillah obviously held that they use which kind of evaluation. What did Tosfos and Megillah hold? Eved Ivri. And therefore Tosfos had a problem. Maybe that's exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokes. Is that Tosfos and Megillah? Maybe at Tosfos held that you used the evaluation of Eved Kenani. Abazoya used the evaluation of Eved Kenani. So then it's great. Avodim, namely Avodim Kenani, looks for the Karkos. So is there a Machlokes now? In the background, lurking between the scenes here, is there a machlekes with the two taisasim? How are you sham? How do you evaluate avodim hanim kar b'shuk? When you see that phrase in halacha, be shamim like an eved hanim kar b'shuk, what evaluation do you use? Do you use eved Ivri? Do you use eved Kenani? So according to the first version of what we thought the machlekes two taisasim is, everybody agrees you use the value of eved Ivri. The machlekes the two days in taisas is the drasha of anmukshel karkos limit eved Kenani, or does it apply to eved Ivri? According to the second beer in the Machlokes, everybody agrees, both Tais and Tais agree, the Drasha is only limited to Eved Kenani. The Nekudas HaMachlokes is not in Hukas of Anhupashat Karkos. The Nekudas HaMachlokes, two Tais and Tais, is within the din of how do you sham avodim. Do you sham avodim like Eved Kenani, like Eved Ivri? A totally different Nekudas HaMachlokes. So does the Machlokes lie within the klal of Anhupashat Karkos? Or does the Machlokes, two Tais and Tais, lie within how do you sham avodim? What do you think the din should be? If I were to ask you, I'd say, okay, we have an area of halacha that the halacha dictates we have to figure out the avdus value of a person. This guy's not an Eved. He's not an Eved Kenani nor an Eved Ivri. He's a regular guy. Rubin's a guy with a long white beard, a long black coat. He's not an Eved Kenani, an Eved Ivri. And he decides that a big tzaddik is going to give his value to the Beis HaMikdash. And he dafka doesn't want to go down Parshas Erech. And he feels bad because, you know, he's a little bit older, but he turned 60, so he feels like, you know, he doesn't want to cheat the Beis HaMikdash. He wants to give a real shtach amount. He feels he's a really strong guy. He can still do a lot of work. So he wants to give his value, his dam, to the Beis HaMikdash. So kum to Sugyan Sanhedrin and says, Shavon Asoki Eved Anim Kibishuk. Which kind of Eved do you think? If I were to ask you, Mitam Svara. Which kind of Eved do you think you should be Shavon as? you would say Misvarin have a Kinaini? What are you guys? That's the most ridiculous Svarin. What would you say? What's your baseline? Johnny, you think your baseline have a Kinaini? What?
Jewish.
The guy's Jewish. He's never going to be another Kinaini ever in his life. Inevitably, he couldn't become. When you see this guy's a long white beard, he could be never, if he steals, he can't find any money, he runs out of money, he could become, he's never going to become an Ever Kanani. So what's Ever Kanani? You're living a loima. I'm telling you, I want to know which set of rules, which appraisers do I bring in? Do I call the guys who know the Ever Ivri market? Do I call the guys who know the Ever Kanani market? You're going to call up and say, can you miss the Avodim Kanani guys, please come in. So these big tough guys come in, and they say, I say to them, I have to introduce you, this is specimen A, I want to know, this guy, Lou Yitzhi, you want to buy him in the Ever Kanani, what would you do? They look at him and say, he's the Ever Kanani. It's a long guy with a long beard, long attire. He's never going to be an Ever Kanani. He's not fit to bill of Ever Kanani. They say, Ever Ivri. Well, he's a little dishonest. He may end up as an Ever Ivri. I'm not going to comment on that, right? He may end up as an Ever Ivri. It's possible. So if you would ask me, I wouldn't have a latest asafek that you misham the guy like an Ever Ivri. That would be my guess. Maybe I'm wrong. So what do you think? What do you think the answer is? How would you even begin to search? We know what Taisa Megillah says. There's no question what Taisa Megillah says. We're just not sure whether other Rishayim disagree. So where would be a good place to look? You probably have to look other places in Halacha where there's a din of Shomer Nasa Gevet and Him Kavashuk, right? So we gave one example, the case in Sanhedrin Tezvel, the guy's Makdish himself, but there are other examples in Halacha to be Sham Gevet and Him Kavashuk. Where's the other area of Halacha? What was this past week's parasha? By parasha Zachovel, Ayin Tachas Ayin, stated in the Torah, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Kupta Lacha Mashinah and says Ayin Tachas Ayin means mabul. It doesn't mean take out the guy's eye. It never meant take out the guy's eye. This is one of the Rambam's examples in his Akdam to Parashat Mishnayos of what he coined the phrase a parasha makuba b'Sinai. There are some halachas that are halacha Moshe b'Sinai that are ish b'piyush and Moshe Rabbeinu that don't have any source in the Torah shebichsav bichlal, pure Torah shebapeh. You can search from today till tomorrow for a source that tefillin have to be square with Toshav Chassav, you won't find one. And if someone tells you they found one, says the Rambam, they're wrong. There's no Mokot. The Rambam never put that, never encoded that bit into Toshav Chassav in any shape or form. It was pure Toshav Chassav. Tefillin have to be black and square, Shin Shal Tefillin. There's a pure Halacha Moshe. Then there are other dinim that are also given me Sinai, but those other dinim are Perusha Mekubal Mesina. Namely, the Rambam gave us Toshav Chassav. And one in theory could have read the Torah Shavuot in a certain way. Not only in theory, the Karaim, it's stupid. The Epikorsim did read the Torah Shavuot in a certain way because they didn't have the Ribbono Shalom's notes. So it's like, well, how the Rebbe does it? It's like Shem Shavuot Her says that if you, he gives a marshal, he says, if you never went never stepped into a college class, you didn't hear the professor speaking, and somebody gave you the notes. So you're trying to make sense of the professor's notes. So you see, if it's a line here, you see a word here, you see a note here, you see it, and you're trying to figure out what did the professor say. So you're going to come up with some theory, but it may have no resemblance to what the professor said. But if you went to a lecture, you heard the whole lecture, and then you look at the professor's notes, so then the notes are going to make a lot of sense. And Mamash the Marshal Shem Shavuot, she says, the Umas HaOlam were in class that day. They missed 40 years of the Midbar. So the Moshe Rabbeinu sat and explained to them what this means and what it means and whatever. So now when they look back at their Rosh Hashanah notes, they say, Taka makes a lot of sense. But the Umas HaOlam, they weren't there. So they just take a quick look. They look at the Bible. First of all, they read it usually in translation. So that's number one problem. So not even the article translation. They read some Greek translation. They read some other English translation, King James. And then they start to read Daik Halachas from what it says in the Torah Shavuot Sefer. There's no resemblance living a death what the Rosh Hashanah meant. So you have to have a lot of say, the Shema Yitzhak Zayin Toshav Chassav properly. So that's what the Rambam writes, that very often a Kodesh Baruch wanted to give us a Din in Toshav Apeh, and he encoded in the Toshav Chassav a way to get to that conclusion as well. So why didn't the Rebbe Shalom just write it straight out? If the Rebbe Shalom wanted us to know Ayin Tach Zayin means Mammon, why didn't he just say pay Mammon? So the answer to that question is not a fair question. Because we're assuming, the assumption of that question is that the only purpose of any given word or pasuk or parsha in the Torah is just in the world of halacha. It's just to teach us what the din is. That's clearly not the case. The Ramban writes in his Akdom at the Chumash that though each word in the Torah has so many multifaceted meanings, the word of the Torah is part of the Shema Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each word, each letter, each kutz, everything
is all the secrets of creation from beginning to end. There's so much Chochmas Elokim in the words of the Torah we can't even grapple with. There's one very, very small part of Torah that the Rosh Hashanah gave to each and every one of us. That's the Chelek HaLocha, the Chelek HaPashtas, about how to live our lives. So part of Torah, it's a big chunk of Torah. It's the part of Torah that the Rosh Hashanah wants us to spend the overwhelming majority of our time on. For those people who excel in that area, who graduate first grade, and they finishing Kol Torah, finishing all the Shas, that we said before. When you finish all the Shas, and you know it's a Esav, a Mutav, it's a Tamiv, a Torah, a Potav, a Chayev, if you excel and you master Kol Torah Kula in terms of the first level, then you promote it to second grade, then you can begin to start to study the deeper meanings of Torah. Then you can move to third grade. You may even graduate elementary school. You can't go from nursery to eighth grade. You can't do that. You have to go in between. That's what the Rambam writes, the famous Rambam quotes from Amar Chazal, that the Yediyas Kol Torah Kula of the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebapeh, the Fi Derech HaPashtus, the Fi the world of Halacha, that's the Pashtus, the Dvarim. That's what we have to start with. That's why all these people who start, they're talking Olam HaSal Yainim, what's in the Olam HaTachton. So it's Mamash HaLeitzanus. People start philosophizing and other things about things that they have no idea what they're talking about, because you have to first understand Dvarim Asurim, Dvarim Torah, Bapturim, V'chayavim, etc. That's like Dvarim Pshutim. This is always Dvarim Pshutim Ad Ma'ayit. So the Rambam, when he writes at the beginning of Hilchos HaSadiyah Torah, at the end of Perek Dal, where he writes that all the things of Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, these are unbelievable Halakha min HaTorah, what the Gemara calls Davar Gadol. But the Davar Katan comes first, the Rambam says, until you master Avayis Davayi V'Rava. And the Rambam spells out what that means is, that means to understand Leida Sapata Vyachaya Vyatama Vyatar. When you know Kol Torah Kula, a big one, then you can begin to discuss this. That's like Dvarim Pshutim Ad Ma'ayit. Sometimes Dvarim Pshutim get lost in the shuffle. Anyway, so the premise of the question, so why didn't the Rebbe Shalom write Ayin Tachas Ayin, pay money, is because you think that's the whole purpose of that pasuk. There's a lot more to that pasuk. The Rebbe Shalom may have a million other meanings, a million other different nuances, and the Rebbe Shalom b'chachmaso put all of that into the words Ayin Tachas Ayin. So you're learning very, very limited. You're learning b'vakam, and you're wondering, so the Rebbe Shalom really meant it, why didn't he say it? So there are half a billion reasons why he phrased it in Ayin Tachas Ayin. But that doesn't detract Kihuzeh from the fact, that's also in the sixth passage, it doesn't detract Kihuzeh from the fact that what the Rebbe Shalom wanted us to extract with halacha, in Beis Din Shalmata, Ayin Tachas Ayin has only one meaning, one meaning alone. Does not mean poking at people's eyes. All it means is mamon. Why did the Rebbe Shalom wrote it that way? He wrote it that way for whatever reason. Whatever his chokhm is. When you understand how the Rebbe Shalom created the world, and you understand how every atom and every cell and everything else that works, so then you figure out, then you can begin to figure out why he wrote Ayin Tachas Ayin the way he did. But l'maisa, it doesn't make a difference for us. It means the halacha exactly what it says. It's fine. So getting back to this story. Yeah. So what does it mean? So it means to pay mamon. So how in the world would you evaluate how much an eye is worth? How would you evaluate how much a hand is worth? How would you even begin to do that? So that's where the Mishnah of Bava Kam in the beginning of Perek HaChovel tells us the Messiah is, we have a tradition that how do you mishai how much an ayin is worth? You have to make a kevet and him could be shuk. So you have to figure out how much would a person be sold in a shuk, let's say with two arms, and nebuch, if a person whose arm was cut off, how much would it be sold with one arm? It would be a big difference between the two. So that's the difference. That's what the Bein Mezik is. That's what Azoy Shteit, that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. When you paskin dinim of chavolas, that's how you mishar it. That's the Lashon HaMishnah of Bavakama, that Ketzat simes eino kiteis yodishib is raglai, reina sakilu evanim kibishuk, vishomen kamaha yofa vakamu yofa. That's all there is in Beis and Shomata. That's in the Olam HaTachton. That's what Ayin Tachas Ayin means. But it's still not clear what it means. What's not clear? We don't know what kind of heaven. It's going to be a different evaluation, different appraisers. So comes Rashi on the spot in the sixth of Mamakram, and Rashi is up in Bavakam Pegimu. Vakamu yofa. Rashi makes a lot of sense. Rashi says, you should mishar him like an Eved Ivri. Why? Because that's ultimately what his loss was. Because in theory, he could have sold himself as an Eved. He could have gotten $100,000 for himself with two arms, and now we can only get $30,000 because Nebuchadnezzar only has one arm. So you caused them a $70,000 hefsid. That's exactly what Nezik, that's what Chavolus is. That's what Ayin Tachas Ayin, so Yad Tachas Yad means. Because he could have been sold as an Eved Ivri. So Rashi makes a lot of sense. That's the baseline, no question about it. Comes the Rosh and says no. Comes the Rosh and says that's not how you mishar things. Comes the Rosh and says, Reiner said, the second line, the seventh in Maimon Kervitz, Reiner said, Kilu Evi Knaini Nimka B'Shuk, Shu Nimka Li'Olam. Aval Evi Divri, Ein Lo Shuma Limach L'Olam, L'Havsid Lo B'Shuma Hazois, Shu Yachal Limkras Atma L'Sheish, U'Li'ach Shatsa B'Sheish, Yimgras B'Sheinis, Chinkal Yomav. What's the Rush talking about? What's the Rush's tying against Rashi? Anyone understand the Rush? What's the Rush talking about? Oh, so says the Rush, you can't just make him an Eved Ivri, because if you make him an Eved Ivri, you only say yourself for 6 years as an Eved Ivri. This guy's not getting another arm in 6 years. He's done. He's finished. So you caused him a hefsid of a loss of an arm for the end of his life. You can't just sneak away by saying we're just going to give him 6 years and call it a day. So that's not even on the radar screen, says the Rush. So that, but the Rush doesn't say that. He adds more to it. He's sensitive to another point. What could you do theoretically? What could you do in theory? Every six years. Let's start over again. Every 6 years. We'll figure out how much would it cost them. As an evidentiary, he would be sold for the next 6 years. With an arm, he'd be sold for $10,000. Minus an arm, he'd be sold for $5,000. So we'll give him $5,000 now, and then in 6 years from now, we'll start over again. So we'll figure out how long the guy's going to live. We have to bring in the actuaries. This is this real actuarial work. What's the odds? When this guy going to die? How much is it going to be worth? As he goes down in years, as he gets older, his value is clearly going to go down anyway. So we'll make some kind of a convoluted shit. This is a good job. Then we're going to go for actuarial work. This is what they do. No? This kind of stuff. So yeah, this is going to take a lot of work to figure this out. So the Rush says, no, you can't do that. That's cheating. You can't do that. That's not in the ballpark. Just to do a one shuma of an evidivri, that's no good, because then you're not giving him enough. But to do multiple shumas of evidivri is also not valid. Why not? What's the problem? Because Beis Din has better things to do at that time. So what? You bring in a good actuary, bring in some good yeshiva bachur, pass one through a test, give him some work to do and figure this out. Why is that no good? What's the problem? In simple economics, it's a problem. Who's going to lose if you do it this way? Who's going to lose if you do it this way? The mazik's going to get cheated if you do it this way. The guy's going to pay more than he has to. Because when you make one lump sum, one big payment, like in a Kenani, so people take that into consideration that, well, I'm buying the guy for a long, long, long time, so that's going to give him more of an accurate shuma. If you have to keep on starting over again, so the price is going to keep on being higher. You're going to end up altogether, when you add up altogether, it's not going to equal the same amount as what you would have paid with the shumas of one time. Who says this? So the Rush sounds like he's saying something like that. And on the bottom, the Charenim, and the bottom of the Rush, try to spend a lot of time trying to explain to the economics why that's so. I don't have a degree in economics, but something sounds right. Something sounds that that's what's going to happen. But if you just give one lump sum payment, so we'll give the lump sum payment and call it a day. If we have to keep on reassessing every 6 years, it's going to end up costing more.
Like the Rush's baseline is that really he ought to be evaluated as Evi Kanani, but now
it's a funny type of a struggle. That's what the Rush is saying.
But I think we're overlooking another factor, which is wouldn't an Evi Kanani just on him be worth more than an Eved Ivri, because Eved Ivri have to provide more services.
Right. It's a funny thing. Right. The Rush is very hard because it's almost like the Rush is saying, Rashi's right, because he really can't be. How can you pay him like an Eved Kanani? The guy's never become an Eved Kanani. So really Rashi's right, but we can't do the math because it's going to end up wrong. So therefore we fall back to the Eved Kanani zone. It's very mudna, no? It's a very strange Rush. I don't understand the Rush.
I don't understand the Rush exactly.
But why did I quote you this Rash in the Rush? Because L'chora, even though we have trouble evaluating this Rush, the bottom line is the Rishonim have a Beferish Machlokes. When these dinim appear of Shamin Asaki Eved, what kind of an Eved? So the Tais in Megillah was taking a stand and saying when Risham the Eved Hilchos Hekdesh is not all that different than the Sham Ke Eved of Nezikin. So Risham Ke Eved Hilchos Hekdesh, Tais said it's Eved Ivri. And therefore, Taisa said, we don't understand. I have an Ivri is not Hukash Lakarka. And Taisa in condition said, no, that's fine. So the Taisa said it's fine because they thought that Evid Ivri is Hukash Lakarka. But Taisa thought it's fine because the Rush is right, that we talk on make you pay like an Evid Kanani. So it's not clear which Nakuda Taisa is arguing about. But I call upon him, we have, at least logically, we have three logical outcomes in terms of our sugya. Who is hukash lekarka? So Rashi says everybody. Any human being walking on two legs is hukash lekarka. According to Tosfos in Megillah, only Eved Kenani. And according to Tosfos in Kedushin, possibly even an Eved Ivri. So we have two for sure shittas, two extreme shittas. Tosfos Megillah against Rashi. Tosfos in Kedushin may be walking the tightrope. So if I say, what other sugyas are going to bear in on this? So a lot of the discussion revolves around the sugyan Bav Metzia and Daf Hei, who was with Bav Metzia, Dr. Birman, you're around Bav Metzia days, right? A lot of discussion revolves around the sugya and Bav Metzia Daf Hei. We need a little bit of a background to appreciate that sugya. It's Mamash Pashas Mishpatim sugya. And this is going to lead us into the next major, major part of the sugya. The context of the sugya Bav Metzia Daf Hei is discussing a din called Helach. A din that may exist or may not exist, depending on who you ask. It's Machlekes Amoraim for sure, maybe Machlekes Tanoim. What is Helach? The background to Helach itself needs a background, because Helach is predicated on another parasha in the Chumash called Meidah V'Miktzis. Meidah V'Miktzis is one of the three Shavuos, not the three Shavuos of Maseches Ksubos, but the three Shavuos of, those who didn't get the joke, forget about it. It's the three, the Gimel Shavuos. Somebody once wrote a sefer about all the halachas and minhagim of the Gimel Shavuos. So somebody was wondering, how much is there to write? And he realized it was about the 3 weeks. It wasn't about the Gimel Shavuos. The guy just didn't know how to write the... Okay. So there were Shavuos deraisa. There were three times when the halacha says, Min haTorah, you have to take a Shavuot and didim abonis. The fourth Shavuot deraisa, Shavuot Saita, but there are three Shavuos deraisa in terms of didim abonis. And two of them appear in Parashat Mishpat, and one of them appears in Parashat Shoftim. What are they again? One of them is Shavuos HaShomrim, that's pretty beferish. Shavuos Hashem Tia Ben Shneim, and Moshoach Yod Machisrei, right? Shavuos HaShomrim, the sixth Parasha. What's Shavuos HaEdechod? If I say you owe me $100, and you say, oh, you're nothing, and the Erechad says he does owe. So there, the Torah Shabbat tells us, Le'yocham Erechad B'ish, L'chalov L'chachatas, V'alkamu L'shvua, that's the Drosha D'Araisa, appears in Masech HaShvuas, that's the second of the Shvuas, and the one that we're interested in is Shvuas Meidah B'Miktzis. I say you owe me $100, you say I only owe you $50, very nice. You have to pay the 50 and you have to be nishba on the rest, and that's called Shvuas Meidah B'Miktzis, that's a Shvua D'Araisa. What's the Mokam Shvua D'Araisa Meidah B'Miktzis? Asher Yomar Kihuzeh, right? It says Kihuzeh, that's it. Kihuzeh means that we're having a sichsuch, we're fighting it out. I say you owe me X, you say you owe me X minus something. You have to pay the part that you were made to, you have to be nishba connected the other part. That's the mock of the din deraisa. Everybody agrees to this, no shayla under the sun. This is part of the Teshuva Peh, that Kihuzeh teaches us, Shvuas Meidah makes this deraisa. The Gemara quotes a machlokes of Hei, the Tal, the Hei, but Messiah, that the following scenario. What's the din? If I say to you, you owe me $100, and you respond as follows, I owe you $50, and here it is, and you put the $50 into my hands, but you say, I don't owe you the rest. So half the Amorim say, that's also Meidah B'Miktzis, what's the difference whether you put the money into my hand or not? And other Amorim say, no, that's not called Meidah B'Miktzis. You know why? Once you put that money into my hands, Helach, I'm sticking it into my face. So then what happened in effect? That part of the case is what? It's closed. It's come on, it doesn't exist. There's no case. A case exists when I'm making a claim and you're making a counterclaim. You're not even making a counterclaim. You're putting the money into my hands. You're not agreeing to my claim. You're putting the money into my hands. So it's done. So what's really happening is I'm claiming another 50, and what are you doing on the other 50? You're being kaifa bakol. And what's the din of kaifa bakol? Then I tell you, it's part of the mishvua. So do you view halach as just a regular, plain, simple meidah b'miktzis? But do I say no, that Halach is so profoundly different that it almost becomes halacha like a kaifa bakol? So the Gemara's machlokes, the Gemara dashes the psukim, kihuzeh, zevelozeh, a whole drasha, but metziah, the dal, the try to figure out what the din is. So the Gemara has a fascinating kasha in Bav Metzia Daf Hei in light of this machlokes. The Gemara says, you know, we have a din of einish bana like hakol. It's also, it's chaval that we're learning, I mean, it's nice we're learning it now, we should have learned this last week, pashat shpatim. There's a din of ein nishbana lekarkos. How do you know that? We mentioned this yesterday. Kiten Israel kesef kelim. Kesef kelim adover metaltel. There's no shvua, no shvua derais, at least on karkos. But ein nishbana lekarkos, avodim, etc. So give me a case of might have mixed us on karka. Just give me a case. Give me a simple case. Nope. I say, what do I say? Nobody. I say I bought three fields from you, and you admit you only sold one of the fields. I'm ready to mix this. I say you stole three fields, you say I stole two fields. Whatever regular towing beneath the north, whatever the dinner was, just stick it in the car and send him a talent. I'll send them a Inish Barnach account. Track the Gemara. Ulamandi Yama, Halach Potter. If you hold that Halach is Potter from Shvua, that's not a Maidu Mikzas. There's no case of Einish Banach HaKos. Because every case of Karka is by definition what? What is every dintar about Karka? Tehlach. When we're having a dintar about cash, we're having a dintar about animals, we're having a dintar about cars. So I say to you, you owe me two cars, and you respond to your one car. Where's the car? The car's in California. I'll bring it back in 6 months from now. That's not Halach. I say you owe me $100, you say only $50. Where's the $50? Where's the cash? I have to go run to the bank and get it. I'll be back next. So that's my due basis. When I say you owe me two pieces of land, and you say only one piece of land, where's the land? It hasn't bunched. But art's oil of modest. The land's not going anywhere. Every hodah in land is by definition a halach. So if the whole mokor of Einish Banach HaKos is from Shavuos Medemiktsas, that pasuk Kesva Kerem Lishmar, Asher Yomar Kiruzeh, the Torah says that there's no Shavuos Medemiktsas on Karka, correct the Gemara, what do the words mean? Every Medemiktsas of Karka is by definition halach. So from the fact that we need a Dirosh to tell me Einish Banach HaKos, Zep Nifendor, that halach is Chayav and Shavuah, that's the Gemara's kash. That's a bomb kash. Who would have thought of that kash on their own? If I would have told you that Einish Banach HaKos, I would have told you Halach is Potter, you would have thought, I don't know, you have to really be in a mind, you have to think in those terminology. You have to think in that abstract, that every karka, so to speak, is Halach. So what the Gemara is searching for is a case where karka is not going to be Halach. That's the goal of the Gemara. So the Gemara is the Kashin, Papatziah. Well, the man yom Halach Potter, in the bottom of the 8th of Ramah Kremis. Well, the man yom Halach Potter, my itzer kruel lemut the karka mishvua. Hakol kake hilichu. Amalach itzrich kreich and the chav bebeir shichin ma'aris. So the Gemara, no. I can find you a case where karka is not hilich. What do the words mean? You dug pits, you dug ditches, you dug caves in the ground. If it's not hilich. What do the words mean? So Rashi in the spot tells you exactly what he thinks pshat is. Rashi says, where have you been told that I sell you three fields and I'd sell you three fields? I claim I bought three fields, you claim that you only bought one field. And the one field that you mowed it to, guess what? You know what you did to that one field in the interim? Either you did or somebody else did. That one field has holes in it now. So that one field used to be worth $100, now it's worth $80. Gotta be in the landfill, you gotta be in this guy's from 185th Street. The guys to start taking the land, taking it up, put it back in again, taking it up. I'm still not sure what's happened. They just keep on picking back, but and put a big rest in peace to Marco. That's about, I don't know what else has happened in the last 6 months. Who's Marco? That's what I thought, but that's what they're... Yeah, I didn't think it was him. I also thought the only Marco I knew. I thought it was him. Okay, maybe not. Anyway, so comes the Gemara and says, if it's Chaf Mevar Shichel Me'aris, so then I'm not returning the land in its full sense. So it's Nishkin Halach. So that's a Rashi's Pshat. That's the simple Pshat in the Gemara. And if that Pshat in the Gemara would have been the Pshat in the Gemara, then we would not be talking about the Sugi today. But the Rambam learned in a radically different Pshat in the Gemara. Comes the Rambam. Should be on the next page. And listen to this Rambam. It's in Halacha Beis. Hey, Hilchos Tov V'Nitan Halacha Beis. It's in the middle of the third line, end of the third line. V'chein ha'choyfer b'stei chaveroi bo'ra shichin ma'oras hifsiduha. So first of all, what is the Rambam not talking about? He's not talking about two nice guys of I sold your land and I was trying to figure out is the land the same as I bought it. It's not mechiras. What is it? The Rambam was right away telling you, I'm about to discuss what area of halacha? Mazik. This is not what? Those who know law school, first year law school, this is not what, but this is what? According to Rashi, what was the case? Rashi's case was, two nice guys, they're in some business deal together over a piece of land, and now they're having a little bit of an argument, just how much land was supposed to be delivered. That's one area of law. And then you have the Rambam, who's describing another area of law of a guy coming in the middle of the night and digging up holes in somebody else's backyard. One is called whom? One's called what? Come on. One's called contracts, and one's called torts. Right? All right? So Rashi is a contract man, and the Rambam is a tort man. He's describing Mazik. The two different areas of Dinim Ominous. So comes the Rambam and says, this is the case. And the Rambam is paraphrasing Baba Tzia Dafei. HaChayfe Mistecha Veiroi. Bari Shichna Mi'aris. Yivsi Duha. Bari Chayv L'Shalim. Bein Shetano Shechofar V'u Amalo Chafarti. O Shetano Shechofar Shtei Mi'aris V'u Amalo Chafarti L'Achas. O Shaya Shamed Echad Shechofar V'u Amalo Chafarti Klum. Reza Nishbeheses Ala Kol. What did the Rambam just say? Shvus Heses is a nice way of saying there's no Shvud Derais. Shvus Heses means it's the Takanas Chacham to be Nishba. But it's a very nice way of saying there's no Derais in here. So Rambam says, if I claim you dug two holes in my ground, and you say, I didn't touch your ground, what's the din? Is there Shvud Derais? Obviously not. Yekai Frekol. I say you dug two holes in my ground, and you say what? I only dug one hole. Is there Shvud Derais? No. Why not? I say you dug a hole, and you say, oh, you dug nothing, and the Nechad says you dug it. Is there a Shvud Deraisa? No. Why? Because the Rambam holds, those are all examples of a Nishvon ala Karkos. Now, how did the Rambam know that Dine Torah of Chafarta, Chafiris Beiris in land, is called Karka? I could have argued that's not called karka. You know why? Because when I say you dug holes in my ground, what am I really asking you for? I'm asking for cash. So how did the Rambam know that Chafiris Beiris has a din karka? Where did the Rambam get it from? Obviously, there's no other Gemara. He got it from Baba Tzia Dafei. Because the Gemara Baba Tzia is looking for, give me a case of Einish Bana Lakarkos where you don't have a problem of Halach. And the best the Gemara could come up with is was Chaf Beiris. So whereas, according to Rashi, the mamish arguing about land, I'm claiming you owe me X amount of land, and you're saying you owe me Y amount of land, that's a Nishbar Lachakos. But when the Rambam's learning pshat that it's torts, that it's Adam HaMazik, that we're really talking about cash, that's a tremendous chiddush. But the Rambam clearly learned the Gemara in Bava Tzidav Hei like this. So the Gemara is saying a tremendous chiddush. I mean, maybe it's right, but it's a tremendous chiddush. That Dine Torah that involved Hezek of Karka, even though we all know it can be paid cash, it doesn't matter. Since it starts out as a Din Torah, a Sichsach around, was the damage to the land, Al Zen Nemar Ein Nishban Al Karkos as well. This is a phrase that we coin called Dmei Karka. Even though the Din Torah is not about actual filling up the dirt, it's really a Din Torah about paying cash. Dvei karka kikarka. And the Rambam got it right out of Bamatia Dafei, which again, according to Rashi, that Gemara doesn't even exist. There's no discussion in the Gemara about Dvei karka kikarka. The Gemara Bamatia, according to Rashi, is talking about pieces of land, buying and selling of a contract, not torts. So again, at first glance, it doesn't have anything to do with Asugya. We're getting there. So the Rambam, again, the Rambam has this Yesod that he got right out of Bamatia, his way of reading the Gemara Bamatia, called Dvei karka. So the Ravid is not happy with this Rambam. The Ravid does not think this is correct. Says the Ravid, the following has sought against the Rambam. It's not on the Marmakamas. Is it not on the Marmakamas? Was it on the Marmakamas? What? Where's that? Number 11? I'm sorry. Oh, it says Rabbi there. Yeah, it means Rabbi. Okay, fine. Sorry about that. Okay. Om Avram. Nirin Devarim. The Rabbi's almost right. What the Rabbi said could be right. Shetavai lemalas achafiris ulahashvas achateris. Avalim tovel the shalim pchasai harukishat tvias mamun. Stop at that point. What did the rabbi just say to the Rambam? I'll meet the Rambam halfway, says the rabbi. You don't always get that out of the rabbi. So the rabbi's almost, the Rambam's almost right. What? If what? Who was up the rabbi, no? What's my claim? I'm suing you in court for digging up my holes. What am I asking? Am I asking for cash of $10,000 that you ruined my land? I got to go bring in a whole landfill committee here to go redo my $10,000? I'm asking you for $10,000 in cash. That's what I want from you. What am I saying? Listen, I want one thing. Before you went on your digging spree in the middle of the night, my dirt was where it was supposed to be. You went ahead like a nutcase and went crazy and dug up my whole field to spite me. Listen, I'm suing you to do the following. I don't want to see a penny from you. I'm going to sleep now. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I want my dirt to be back where it belongs. Go be mala my chafiris for me. That's my claim to you. Says the Raven, if I claim, number one, the first root, I'm suing you for cash. So then that, I'm sorry, is not Emish Banach HaKos. That's a din Torah on Tashlumin, it's a din Torah on cash, on dollars and cents, and that's called Metaltlin, it's a Shvud Diraisa. If I'm claiming that, I'm insisting that you fill up my dirt, that the Rambam is correct. That's called the Dintari Karka. So what's the Ravid saying? He's meeting the Rambam halfway. Unlike Rashi, who learned in Bava Metzia Daf Hei that the Gemara wasn't even talking about Mazik, because Mazik, once it's Mazik, it's cash, and then it's not Enish Balak HaKos. So Rashi had to have the Dintari about contracts, how much many acres of land was sold or not sold. So according to Rashi, this discussion doesn't even get off the ground, no pun intended. But according to the Rambam, that Chafiris Beiris Derech Mazik is called Karka, the Ravid says sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on how the person formulates what his claim is. That's how the Ravid's willing to beat the Rambam halfway. So I'm reading the Gemara in Bava Metzia like the Rambam, but only it's a Okim Tachem Ma'askin and such and such.
I think there's another way of reading the Ravid, yeah, which is that the Machlokes of the Ravid is whether he's asking for the cost of repair or the diminution in value of the land, which is not the same thing. And the reason I think that's the better way to read the Ravid is because what you're asking for is basically to order the guy to put the dirt back, which is not something.
Oh, okay, we're getting there. You touched on a very, very delicate point within the Ravid. Very good. Excellent. So one thing I know the Ravid is not saying is the Rambam, that's for sure. Right. Rambam saying this is always karka, no matter what the claim is, this is karka. The Ravid says not so pashut. When the claim is karka oriented, then maybe it's karka. When it's mammon oriented, then it's not. Is that you have to find to what the Shita Saravid is. So, but the author is 100% correct that the Ravid is not 100% clear what those words mean, that I'm coming to court and I'm insisting, fill up my dirt. What do those words mean? I come to Beis and I say, fill up my dirt. What claim exactly is that? So the Shach is not sure what the Ravid meant. Did the Ravid mean to say that that is a valid claim? That means I can come to you and I can say, I am insisting on a repair job. I don't want your money. I'm not interested. I want my land back the way it was. The Shach says, if that's what the Ravid means, that a Nizik has the right to claim that, now he could choose not to claim it. He can say, I want cash. But is that true that a Nizik has the right to claim that? Says the Shach, that would be an eye-opener in terms of not just this wild scenario of digging holes. This would be an eye-opener for all of Hilchos Mazik v'Nizik. Is there such a din? What would be found? Ma'isim b'chol yoyim. A guy smashes up your car. Right? Reuben smashes up Shimon's car. Adam would like, Adam b'shag yiv meza. He's bashed into the guy's car. So Reuben, leave out insurance companies. It's kind of more complicated. The good old days. Reuben smashes up Shimon's car. So Shimon turns around to Reuben and says, listen, I don't want you to pay me for the car. I don't want to be bothered. I want you to go get me a new bumper. Get me a new door to the car. Fix up you get me a new engine to the car. You it's not my problem. I'm giving you 24 hours. I want my car fixed. I don't want your money. I want my car fixed. Is that a claim? Does Hilchos Mazik accept such a thing? Well, mafit time. Nizik, the Nizik can turn around to the Mazik and he can ask for whatever he wants. The Mazik will say, I'm sorry I smashed up your car. Go bring it to an auto body shop. Give me a bill. Give me an estimate. I'll pay you for it. Leave me alone. Go, you go. You can bring it to the, you get it fixed. I'm makil ad nefesh. Pay me yishol mena. I just have to be, pay up the cash. I don't have to fix up your car. I have to pay the cash. So the Shach says, linked in this Ravid is potentially an unbelievable chiddush in Huchas Nezikin. Because the Ravid is saying, depending on how the Nizek formulates his claim, is going to alter whether this is a din d'arayis karka, din d'arayis of a tavlin. What the Ravid is conceding to is that the Nizek has a right to present the claim in one of two ways. So the Shach starts out by saying, yeah, there's a big chiddush in the Ravid. It's a tremendous chiddush, but maybe he's right. And then the Ravid says, you know, I'm not even sure the Ravid said that. It's hard to believe that the Ravid said the guy's got to go fix up the land. Well, if the guy doesn't know how to fix up land, he's not such a big guy, he's a schlepo. He knew how to dig up the land, but he doesn't know how to fix up the land. He knows how to smash up cars. Not everyone who knows how to smash up a car knows how to fix the car. Here comes the Shach. Maybe all it means is as follows. Not that the Nizak really truly has a right to demand and Beis Din that the guy fix up the car, fix up the land. But if the Nizak comes forward and says, listen, I really want to fix this land. I'm really planning on fixing up the land. And please give me a check to cover those costs. That's called karka. Because at the end of the day, that money's going to go to fix up the land. Now, Shane K., what if the Nizak comes forward and says like this, listen, you ruined my land. And you really caused a depreciation of $10,000. But you know what? It's not worth it for me. You know, I could use $10,000 for something else. I got to go marry off a kid. I could use an extra $10,000. What about doing my land? I'll figure out my land in 10 years and I'll figure out what to do my land. Right now, write me a check for cash and I'm going to give the money to the marina. The Nizik has a right to do that. The Nizik, I'm claiming $10,000. I'm not planning on fixing up the land. So comes the Shach and says, maybe that's what the Ravid's talking about. If the Nizak is really truly going to use the money that he gets to fix up the land, then we label that money as the Mekarka. And Enish Balaka goes. But if the Nizak doesn't plan on doing that, what happens? So the guy gets money from his car gets smashed up. The guy figures, you know what? Taka, I can take the $10,000. I don't even need a car. I'm on the train. I'll take the $10,000 and use it for something else. So the Nizak has the prerogative to do that. If the Nizak chooses to do that, so then the Ravid saying, then you can't call it the Bekarka Karka anymore. So the Rambam was very vague. The Rambam says, any claim that started out with Karka is automatically called Karka. The Ravid says, no, not so simple. If the money's going to be used to fix the Karka, yeah, and if no, no. So the Shach is not sure the nuances of the Ravid. Where do you draw the line? What point does the Ravid concede the Bekarka Karka? What point does the Ravid say, Bekarka is not Karka? But one thing is clear from the Ravid, how you read this Ravid, says the Shach, that the Ravid held, there are cases in Halacha where we don't plug in this rule of the Rambam. There are cases where sometimes it's called Metatlin. Where you draw the line is where your threshold is up for discussion, but the Rambam's all-encompassing statement, every case of Mazik Karka is called Mekarka Karka, is not true. That's the Ravid is clear. So where, how would you know that? Is that he's coming forward? We're going to see if what he plans on doing. It's unclear. It's a little bit unclear. How would you know that exactly? I don't know. So comes the Ravid and says, I'll prove to you the Rambam's not right. What's behind it? Why is the Ravid walking this tightrope and straying? And in this case, yeah, this case. No. What's wrong with the Rambam? The Rambam is so much glatt, so much simpler. Because of Mekarka finished on Esbidi Kashas. Rashi says they never heard of Mekarka. Rashi learned the Gemara differently. The Ravid is walking the tightrope sometimes. Yes, sometimes. No, we don't know where the line is. We're not sure we're coming or going with the Ravid. The Rambam's cloth. The Rambam's the extreme position. Like the world is black and white. The Mekarka is always Mekarka. What's wrong with it? What's wrong? What's difficult with the Rambam? The Ravid says against the Mishnah. Against the Mishnah Masech HaShavuos. What's the Mishnah Masech HaShavuos? So the Ravid assumed that you had all of Masech HaShavuos. If you're learning a sugya, and it's time for Nitin, how can you not have all of Masech HaShavuos in front of you? The Ravid just tells you very, very quickly. The Ravid says, "Chamisha v'lochavalti b'shtay v'lochavalti el'achasat kam l'shaynei." He's assuming you know what he's talking about. So what the Ravid is talking about is as follows. There's a Mishnah Masech HaShavuos that talks about all the Shavuos Derabanan. Shavuos Deraisa, those are the easy ones, but there are another 25 Shavuos Derabanan. Usually, not always, but usually the demarcation between Shavuos Deraisa and Shavuos Derabanan is Shavuos Deraisa are always Nishpoim and Niftarin. You take a Shavuos and then you don't pay. Shavuos Derabanan very often are Shavuos Hanotlin. There's a din Torah, Minat Torah, you, which is Tehmotzach Levaraya. The Chazal think that the guy who's Tovei is probably right. He's probably telling the truth. And we don't want to give him the money just like that, so we tell him, listen, if you take a shvua that you're telling the truth, then we're going to give you the money that you're claiming. So that's a special Hefka Bezev, a special Chazal called Shvuas HaNotlin. So one of the many Shvuas HaNotlin is Shvuas Nechbal. What does Shvuas Nechbal mean? Two guys go into a room together. They're screaming at each other. They go into a locked room. And one guy comes out with a broken arm, broken in such a way that it is highly unlikely that he broke it himself. It is really, really appears that the other guy broke his arm. Now, can we say with absolute certainty? No. Afishnai made him. We're not 100% sure, but we're pretty sure. So Chazal said, you know what? Let the Nechbal take a shvua, and the Nechbal takes a shvua. If the other guy broke his arm, we're going to insist that the Chayvel pays. That shvua is a nightmare. One of the many, many shvua is a nightmare. So comes Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos and says that Chazal did not institute Shavuos and Nechbal all the time. They only institute Shavuos and Nechbal in a case called the Tikkun Rabban Kein Deraisa Tikkun, namely, if it smacks of a Shavuos Deraisa. If it has certain similarities to Shavuos Deraisa, then we're gonna, only then we're going to insist, we're going to institute the Shavuos Derabban of Nechbal. What would that mean, says Rabbi Yehuda the Tana? If I say, two guys go into the room and the guy comes out with two broken arms and he's screaming, you broke both of my arms, and the supposed Chovel says, what? I only broke one of your arms. So that's almost like a Moedim Mixus. It's not really, because what? Because it's like opposite. It's like a Moedim Mixus. So what's the din? What's the law going to be? We're going to let the Nechbal take a Shvua on what? On the other arm. So the one arm, he's going to have to pay. The one that he was moed on, for sure, he's going to have to pay. That's what's in their eyes. And on the other arm, we really should let him go scot-free. But we should make him take a shvua der eyes, the moedim mixtus, in effect. But we're going to make a shvua der abanan and let the nechbal take the shvua and collect his money. Rabbi Yehuda is much more comfortable with invoking a shvua der abanan in that scenario, rather than just one normal, regular case, the first case of he broke one arm and the other guy says he broke nothing. Because that first case is almost smacks of Kofi Bakol, and we don't like Shavuos and Kofi Bakols. But Moedim Mixus, whenever there's a little bit of a Hodah, so we're already comfortable with invoking Shavuos. So again, this is all Mitra Rabbanan, because this is not Shavuos HaNiftarim, this is Shavuos HaNaglin. But the Shavuos HaNaglin are patterned after the Shavuos HaNiftarim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's story. So the Raiv, that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that we may not even paskin like from sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Zevin from Dol Rama is not right. How do you see anything from anything about anything? What does that have to do with anything? With the price of broken arms. What does that do to him? So what's the Raya of the Raya? What's the Raya of the Raya? Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that there's no independent halach in a vacuum called Shavuos HaNechbal. Shavuos HaNechbal only applies if and when it would have been a potential Shavuos Deraisa. Would cases of Chavolas ever been Shavuos Deraisa? Is there ever a case of Shavuos are mixed on Chavolas according to the Rambam? No, you know why? Because what's the Rambam Shita? Dmei, what? Dmei karka ke karka. And what's the corollary of that? Dmei eved ke eved. And what's the corollary of that? Dmei adam ke adam. And the Raivid was assuming, he didn't tell you all this. See, this is like the Rav Sherchavar said. If you were a Talmud of the Raivid and you heard the whole Shia, then you know what he meant with those three words. But if you didn't know what the Raivid's talking about, you wouldn't know what he was coming from. The Raivitz Kasha was predicated on the assumption that everybody knows that Rashi is right, that Dmei Adam Huksha Lekarka. And since Dmei Adam Huksha Lekarka, therefore, if the Rambam's right, we should say that Dmei what? Dmei Adam Ke Adam. Every case of Chavolas should never be a Shvur Derash. Nishban Ala Avodim, Nishban Ala Bnei Adam, Nishban Ala Karkos. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that Chaval to Bishtai, Vuhu Melo Chaval to Echas, there's a Shvur Deraisa in the works, the Shvur Deraisa is somewhere in the background, there would never be a Shvur Deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda's whole Shita is a Stira. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is Mufach Midei Ubei. Because Rabbi Yehuda's assuming there's a Shvud Deraisa, it's impossible to ever have a Shvud Deraisa by Chavalas. Because every Chavalas is always Mei Adam Ki Adam, which is like the Mekarka Ki Karka, according to the Rambam. Does that mean from Dosa's derived? The only way out of this Kash is that the Rambam's not right, that there is no rule of Mekarka Ki Karka. Maybe sometimes, if the guy's towing to fill up the this, to do this, whatever the claims are that the Rambam is willing to be made to the Rambam. But Ikaron, if I say, give me $10,000, and you say $5,000, that's not called Dvei Karka, that's called cash. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda means. That's what the Raivin meant. Everyone, when you read that Raivin, everyone understand that's what the Raivin meant? Of course, that's what the only way to read, that was a cash of the Raivin was. That was a choch of the Raivin from Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in Masech HaShvuas against the sheet of Sir Rambam. What was the Raivin assuming, Rabbi Yisai? This kasha only made sense if he was assuming that to make karka, to be ever ki ever, what's the next important to May? To May b'nei Adam ki ben Adam. Kump the bag of Mishnah and says to defend the Rambam that the kasha never got off the ground. The kasha didn't even start it. The Rambam's reading this kasha and saying, what's he asking? Even karka, he's talking people. What would the Rambam respond? B'nei Adam b'hul b'huk shil kakos. There's no such thing as b'nei Adam b'huk shil kakos. Therefore, the whole kasha is kushim ekor leis. So basically, what we just discovered now is a tucked away machlekes Ram and Raivin, who was telling v'nitin, which is the same machlekes Rashi tells in condition of Zayin and Alf. Or is it? Is it more to this machlekes than meets the eyes? Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we're going to try to take this Ram and Raivin, hopefully, Mitzvah to the next step. Okay? So tomorrow's shiur is that.